isn't that what salvation is all about? You know, Bob and Irene last week talked about God's love for us. And I think salvation is God's ultimate gift. He sent Jesus to be the ultimate gift. He died for us. You know, it's a gift. It's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we're ever going to be able to do. But just accept that gift of salvation. If you look up the word salvation in the Catholic Encyclopedia, it says that sacred scripture uses the word salvation mainly in the sense of liberation of the human race or of individual man from sin and its consequences. And in simple terms, it's God's ultimate expression of his love for us. God sent Jesus to give us new life. Jesus reveals the Father's love for us. Through his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus gives us new life. It is a free gift that we must accept. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn to Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Understand that you have been transferred from the power and authority of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. Know that in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Jesus has secured completely our salvation. In him we lack nothing and have been made holy, removing all grounds for accusation through his death on the cross. Therefore, we are to focus our minds on God and the things that are important to him. We live holy lives not to gain righteousness, but we have already been made righteous. If you turn to Titus 3, which Titus is toward the end of the Bible, in between Timothy and Philemon. Titus 3:3-7. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hate and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And there's a little explanation in my Bible that talks about this that says that Titus calls us to be champions of grace, diligently teaching that good works cannot save us. Yet we are equally to be champions of godly living, giving clear guidelines for righteous conduct and behavior. We are to live in godliness because Jesus has forgiven us and set us free by his grace. Through salvation, we are forgiven and can start over again. Jesus gives us strength to renounce the devil. Martin said, are you going to talk about the devil? And I was like, no, I really hadn't planned on talking about the devil, but the devil is alive and well. And I don't know how many of you have actually really ever felt the devil work in your life, but let me tell you, he does. The more you work and the more you give your life to God, the harder the devil is going to work to make you want to stop giving your life to God. And he will challenge you, and he will put up barriers, and he will make things hard. You know, I know friends and family that, and even myself, you know, when I know that I'm working really hard for God, that at work or in my home life, you know, things will happen that just, make things hard, but, you know, you keep pressing on and you keep believing that, you know, you just keep working for Jesus and it works. You know, just keep your eyes on Jesus, because through, you know, when you claim that salvation, when you say, yes, you know, I'm going to become a new child of God, there's nothing you can't do without God. In Romans 8, 37, it says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, in my Bible, it explains that more than conquerors in the, the word conqueror means, describes one who is super victorious. So we are super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering and achieving abundant victory. This is not the language of conceit, but of confidence. Christ's love conquered death, and because of his love, we are like superhuman. Every area of our personal and communal lives is meant to echo the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, bringing freedom and new life to those who accept him. Jesus lives in each of us and in his church, and to bring life to those who are his followers for the sake of the world. In Ephesians 2, verse 17, verses 17 through 22. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Oh, I'm sorry, Ephesians 2. That was Ephesians 3. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2, 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is why in the Creed, when we pray, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. Through him, all things were made. If you look at verse 20, it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself became the chief cornerstone. So I know that was something, you know, this is a verse that I'll remember. Through him all things were made. He is the chief cornerstone. And for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Choosing Jesus and the life of the Spirit involves a lifetime of choices as we live our faith in the world. I'd like to close with 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And there's a note in my Bible that talks about this verse. It says, instruction in godly living is as vitally important today as it was in the church in Corinth. Because human nature remains the same, we find ourselves facing the same issues and needing the same instructions as the Corinthians did. Our source of power for godly living remains in the cross and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The motive for our godliness continues to be love and our goal to glorify God. As believers, we are made righteous and holy in Jesus alone. Corinthians tells us that having been sanctified, we are called to live holy lives. Holy living requires that we rely fully on the Lord's wisdom and not on the wisdom of the world. When Maura first asked me to do this talk, she said, "I thought of you because of something that you shared at a Teens Encounter Christ weekend." And so because of that, I brought this with me, and I want to challenge or invite, as Father says, gives us our challenge. This is called a Call to Radical Commitment, and it's by Rick Warren, and he wrote the book Purpose Driven Life. And it goes something like this. It says, "Today I'm stepping across the lines. I'm tired of waffling and I'm finished with wavering. I've made my choice, the verdict is in, and my decision is irrevocable. I'm going God's way. There's no turning back now. I will live the rest of my life serving God's purposes with God's people on God's planet for God's glory. I will use my life to celebrate His presence, cultivate His character, participate in His family, demonstrate His love, and communicate His word. Since my past has been forgiven, and I have a purpose for living and a home awaiting in heaven, I refuse to waste any more time or energy on shallow living, petty thinking, trivial talking, thoughtless doing, useless regretting, hurtful resenting, or faithless worrying. Instead, I will magnify God, grow to maturity, serve in ministry, and fulfill my mission in the membership of His family. Because this life is preparation for the next, I will value worship over wealth, we over me, character over comfort, service over status, and people over possessions, position, and pleasures. I know what matters most, and I'll give it all I've got. I'll do the best I can with what I have for Jesus Christ today. I won't be captivated by culture, manipulated by critics, motivated by praise, frustrated by problems, debilitated by temptation, or intimidated by the devil. I'll keep running my race with my eyes on the goal, not the sidelines or those running by me. When times get tough and I get tired, I won't back up, back off, back down, back out, or backslide. I'll just keep moving forward by God's grace. I'm spirit-led, purpose-driven, and mission-focused. So I cannot be bought, I will not be compromised, and I shall not quit until I finish the race. I'm a trophy of God's amazing grace, so I will be gracious to everyone, grateful for every day, and generous with everything that God entrusts to me. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I say, however, whenever, and whatever you ask me to do, my answer in advance is yes. Wherever you lead me, Lord, and whatever the cost, I'm ready. Anytime, anywhere, any way. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. I want to be used in such a way that on that final day, I'll hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful one. Come on in and let the eternal party begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. We appreciate that. I know one of the... As you were talking, one of the scriptures that came to me was John. I'm sure you've seen this at all the football games and sporting events. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Flip it. John 16:3.
John 16:8. Thank you. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. All right, thank you, Father. Look at me now. All right, thank you. Thank you. Great. We'll do the faith sharing groups at this point. So Last week I know we introduced the new folks today, so the older folks who were here last week, we'll get a chance to intermix with everybody in our small group. So Father's going to break us into 3 to 4 people per group with a group leader, and we'll just have a little discussion. Father, do you have a question for this week?
Yes, I have a discussion question.
Okay, so.
Yeah, before we break into groups, I want to give you a tip on opening your Bible to find the books really, really, really fast when somebody's looking for them, so you look like you know your Bible very, very well. And the tip I'm going to give you this week is from the New Testament. Of course, we know the Gospel, and we know that after the Gospel, we have Acts of the Apostles. Then you get to St. Paul's letters. There's a way in which the letters are arranged. So get this. The letters to the churches come first before the letters to people. The letters to the churches come first before the letters to people. And the longest letter comes first before the shortest letter. So, Romans is the longest letter. So, in Paul, since it's a letter to a church, it's going to come first. So all the letters to the churches will come, and then you have the letters to the people. Yes. So you have, yeah. And then after that, after the letters to Paul, you have the book of Hebrews, because we're not sure Paul wrote it or not. So you have the book of Hebrews. And after that, you move into the Catholic letters. So James, Peter, John, Jude, JP, JJ.
That's just a team.
Yeah.
Revolution.
Yeah. Jude. Okay. So now we're going to break into groups. So at least with that knowledge, if you hear Romans, don't go looking toward the end of the Bible, because it'll be earlier on after Acts of the Apostles. Okay, how are we going to break into groups? I'm going to just randomly pick you, and just count the one.
Do you want to pick the leaders up there first?
No, I'll just place the leaders after